I just want to apologize for the audio issues. Unfortunately, when I recorded this, I did not realize that the mic was having issues. So, yeah. Hope you still enjoyed the episode.
Hello and welcome to I Can't Believe It's Not the Mouse, the podcast all about animated features not made by the mouse. I'm your host, Octaviano Macias, and today we're going to do an episode of a show. But before that, let's talk about the show a little bit. Family Guy. Now, I know a lot of people don't like Family Guy. It's one of those shows that saying you like on the internet is, well, it's not as problematic as it used to be, but it was one of those things where it's like, oh, look, this person's an idiot because they like Family Guy. And I'm not going to lie, for a while, I want to say a decade back, I was kind of the same way. See, when Family Guy started out, it was, I want to say a really well-beloved show because the show was canceled 3 seasons in by Fox. A lot of people got introduced to it through Adult Swim. As did I. I got into it. I liked it. I thought it was really funny. I was like, man, it sucks that the show got canceled. It really deserved more. And eventually that popularity did lead to more because Fox took notice at how much it was selling DVDs, the ratings on Adult Swim, I'm assuming, and just the overall popularity around it. So they said, hey, let's make more Family Guy. So it came back. With the first season, I want to say 2 to 3 years after it was canceled. I'm not entirely sure how long exactly it was, but I know it was just a few years after, which is kind of crazy. Nowadays, that doesn't sound so crazy because there's a lot of shows that come back every so often after a few years or sometimes more. But at the time, Family Guy coming back from cancellation was just like this big, unheard of kind of thing, to a point that for a while, the show's identity. And it kind of stuck with it in a way that didn't go so positively for it. Because at first it was like, okay, yeah, so it came back. But then, of course, it resulted in people, myself included, saying the new seasons weren't as good as the old seasons. Characters' personalities had changed. The show was using the cutaway gags, you know, pretty much like the flashbacks and stuff like that, as crutch in comparison to the earlier seasons where it felt like it was used more sparingly, or if it was used, it made a little more sense than some of the stuff that they did with the later seasons. Basically, you could tell that there was some change in that over time. And realistically, looking back at it now, it's like, look, I do agree that those early seasons were kind of mixed, just because it was like, look, I don't know if all the writers even came back. And of course, it was just a matter of getting that same feel again. So obviously things were going to be different, which is always a risk when it comes to shows coming back. Some shows are able to do it perfectly fine. A lot of them don't. It got so out of hand. I mean, even the show South Park made a 2-part episode mocking the show. And I don't want to go into it too much, but basically, there was a whole thing where it's like, oh, manatees are why the show's so random. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like that's a bit messed up looking at it now, especially seeing how many people ran with that. And it's like, I mean, look, if you don't like it, that's fine. It's perfectly fine. I get it. There's a lot of stuff that I didn't like from those early revival seasons. And there's even stuff that I don't really like from the newer seasons. But at the same time, it's like, look, the show was clearly making its own style. When it came back, much as I hate to say it, it was trying to find its own identity. Because one of the criticisms of those early seasons was that it was too much like every other family show. Whether it was The Simpsons, Flintstones, whatever. And not that it's ever fully escaped that, but at the very least, when they were trying that kind of stuff out with those early revival seasons, you could see like, okay, we're now taking more of a form of, in terms of where the show is going to go from here on out, with characters basically hating Meg, how Peter and Lois you know, Aquafina, even Stewie was evolving, because early on he was just an evil baby, and they started adding more things to him. So it was like, okay, yeah, he's a smart baby, but we're not gonna do the whole, oh, he's just another character who wants to take over the world or whatever. And not that that stuff was bad, but it was like a lot of it was kind of played out. And in many ways, the way that Stewie's gone from those early seasons to now, he's improved as a character, I think. And it wouldn't have happened if they didn't bother trying to do different things within those early revival seasons. So I get why they happen. I still think that a lot of it is weak. Some of it because some jokes have aged horribly, and some of it just because you could tell that they weren't fully set on what they were going to be doing once they were back. Maybe they weren't even sure whether or not they were going to last long. I mean, the show's currently on its 21st season. It's gotten so long that I'm sure a lot of fans over the last decade aren't even aware that it was even canceled to begin with. And there are now more episodes from the post-cancellation than there was pre-cancellation. And there's even more episodes that if, say, within the pre-cancellation, if it was never canceled, if there was like those two or three extra seasons, if you were to try to add that onto those early seasons, there would still be way more episodes now, because it's just gone on that long, it's become that popular. And with that popularity, of course, there was a lot of hatred for it. There still is a lot of hatred, where a lot of people tend to blame it for the faults of a lot of adult animation. I think it's unfair, and I think it's good that more people have noticed, like, okay, there is some value to this. You know, the best thing to do when it comes to this show, realistically, is watch clips on YouTube or wherever, as I do think people do generally pick out the funniest clips from it. And I know that sounds kind of insulting, but it's like, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, there's sometimes where the show can get a little too random, a little too absurd for its own good. But to its credit, as someone who recently started rewatching it, just because I've had a lot of downtime with being sick and whatnot, I've come to notice, like, okay, there are episodes that don't work, like any other show, but there are some really good episodes that have come about post-cancellation, from a lot of them from recent seasons, that really show how creative they've gotten and just how much the show has evolved over time, to the point that it's like, okay, look, I still recommend watching it that way, especially if you're not too big on the style of the humor. But if you're willing to allow that absurdity, there are some real gems, some really good episodes, not just, you know, one or two gags cut up for like a YouTube video. And with that long intro out of the way, let me talk about the 9th season episode, which was, at least from my understanding, the first time that they actually went to HD. So this is still a very long time ago now. And then there were fewer. So this is a double length episode. It's 40 minutes. It's not cut up in half. If you watch it like on Hulu or any of those streaming sites that have this, it'll pop up as the full 40 minute watch. And it's basically a murder mystery episode in which a bunch of the characters that we know from the show, most of them regulars, some of them guest stars, come into James Woods' mansion, because at this point James Woods was a character on the show. He doesn't really pop out anymore, but he was a character on the show. As a result of James Woods trying to make amends with all these characters, because that was the other thing, is that James Woods was a jerk to all these characters, which, funny enough, that's kind of true to real life. You get all these people in this small place, they're willing to hear him out, but then a murder happens, and that's pretty much what sets the whole thing. It's like, okay, who murdered this person? And a few other murders happen. And yeah, it's a really good episode. Like, I've heard prior to watching this that this was one of the better episodes, and finally deciding to sit down and watch it after all these years, even though I already knew the big twist at the end, I was impressed. I'm not gonna lie, it is as a Family Guy episode that's great, it's to a point where I'm like, you know, I feel like this could have even gone for maybe another 40 minutes, like make it a full 80 minute thing. And since for a while they were talking about doing a Family Guy movie, I don't know if there are still plans for that. I kind of doubt it, but I know by this point it was still fairly recent because there were a lot of talks for that ramped up around 2007 because of the Simpsons movie. And I'm like, realistically, and I don't know, maybe they had plans for this to be the movie, maybe they didn't, maybe they just couldn't figure it out, I don't know, but I feel like they kind of missed out on what could have been a really good Family Guy movie if they wanted to do it. Honestly, I could see this being a, you know, one of the better TV show movies if it was done that way, because the mystery within the episode is really solid, the story is really solid, it feels believable to the show. It's one of the things about a lot of TV, you know, movies based on TV shows, is that they're often big end of the world scenarios. So having this be like a small confined place, granted it's a mansion so it's big, but even still it's a small place, and just making it a murder mystery, so there is actual stakes because characters from the show actually did get killed off in this episode, is just great. And it feels very different from a lot of the stuff that we normally get from theatrical, you know, like I said, like TV movies based on TV shows. It didn't happen, sadly, but you know, still, you know, for a 40 minute episode, it gets a lot done. Like, I still feel like it could have been longer, just because I feel like, okay, you know, this of course works if you know a little bit on the show, if you've seen a little bit of the show, but you could have had like little minutes reintroducing certain aspects into this, like, you know, James Woods' connection to the characters could have been reintroduced to an extent on here. I don't know if it would have fully worked as a story beat, but you know, I could have seen it, and they could have even sprinkled a little more hints towards the eventual reveal on who's behind it all. I guess this is an old episode, so I can spoil it. The eventual reveal is that the person who's killing these other people is the female news anchor, Diane. Granted, I don't want to say it comes out of nowhere, but like they don't give you enough to where it's like, okay, so you know, that's what was going on. Okay, like it's even to a point where once it's revealed, like they start explaining the whole thing, which, you know, perfectly fine, but at the same time it's like I feel like some of that could have been showcased within earlier throughout the episode, that way it doesn't become one long info dump. And granted, it's an interesting info dump, but it's still an info dump at the very end. But yeah, it's just a really fun episode. A lot of the jokes are funny, even though there are, of course, the typical stuff that Family Guy does that is messed up. Like, you know, one of the people that is there is the child molester, old guy, Herbert the pervert, whatever. You know, Quagmire is still doing the sick Quagmire jokes. The only one that I would be a little hesitant to add on, and it's just a very quick one, is that they have H. John Benjamin, you know, the guy who's Archer and Bob from Bob's Burgers. He appears in this because he is a, you know, a regular character on the show named Carl, who's like this convenience store guy who pretty much is a big movie fan. And, you know, he does get a lot of good jokes throughout the show from what I've seen. But in this, he gets good jokes in here too with his interactions, just being him talking about movies, so it's always kind of fun. The only real issue I would have is like, okay, at one point, and you could, this automatically dated it for me just because I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's right, this is an old episode, is I believe it's when James Woods is explaining why he brought them there to like make amends. The Carl character just responds with gay, because, you know, it was that time when a lot of people were saying gay to describe something that was lame, stupid, whatever. Not the worst thing in the world, but it is still like, oh yeah, people used to say that stuff. And granted, some people still do, but a lot of people have moved on from it, and we've acknowledged it's like, look, that ain't cool. That's not right. That's stupid. Don't say that. But, you know, yeah, aside from that, like, it's like, yeah, there are offensive jokes in here, but it's nothing where it's like, okay, yeah, this horribly dates it. At most, it's like, okay, that's a bit creepy, but you know, it's stuff that the show still does to this day that for the most part people are like, yeah, it's messed up, but I mean, I know that Quagmire as a character has definitely aged the worst. With Quagmire, it's like, okay, look, the character's straight up, you know, been showcased to rape a lot of women, you know, drug a lot of women and whatnot, and it's like, yeah, no. But admittedly, some of it still lands pretty well, so as messed up as it is, but you know. But yeah, just an incredible episode, because you know, you get a bunch of these characters just lined up and you think that it gets bogged down by having, you know, a bunch of the recurring characters alongside the family, you know, all the neighbors, you know, Adam West, because of course Adam West was the mayor on the show. Like I said, H. John Benjamin as Carl. You have like the Latino maid, Consuela, all these different characters, but they don't. A lot of it results with them, you know, bouncing off each other naturally. Even if you've never seen the show before, you could probably get a good laugh out of it just because these characters are presented as broad caricatures of what they're supposed to be. Like, oh, look, here's the news anchors, here's the mayor, here's the maid. And of course, with it being a murder mystery, it further lines up. Again, I do think it could have been a little bit longer just to further flesh it out, especially for newer viewers. But at the same time, it's like, this is a TV episode, so it makes sense to not have all those little details. But if it were a theatrical movie, I think it could have easily done it, and it still would have worked out really well. Because of course, when it comes to doing, you know, a theatrical movie or just even a movie in general, especially considering nowadays, you know, we get them, you know, on streaming quite regularly, you do have to kind of reintroduce the audience to certain things just so they don't feel lost. And for the most part, a lot of, you know, shows that get their movies know how to do it in just the right way, where it feels like, okay, this is being information that's being relayed to newcomers without it feeling like they're just forcing explanations to longtime fans. Like, you know, it's just a simple way of like, okay, yeah, this stuff happens. But yeah, a few characters get killed off. Even James Woods gets killed off, because at first he's the first person that everyone assumes, because he's like, well, he kind of hated everyone. But they're quick to realize, like, wait, no, he was gone for a while. And of course, when he gets killed off, it's like, okay, yeah, so it's not him. So they're all just trying to figure out, like, okay, who's picking us off one by one? Which, again, results in a lot of great gags. And it's just really well done how they do it. The atmosphere in this episode is great. Like, it's not, I don't want to say it's poorly animated, but, it is animated as if it's a TV show, because it is just a TV show. So it's not like it's anything spectacular like you would watch with a lot of other, with movies. But because they do emphasize on just like the atmosphere of being in this dark mansion, as a bunch of people are freaking out during the rain, during thunderstorm, because at one point everyone tries, you know, escaping, but the thunderstorm ends up breaking the bridge, so they're like, okay, we're actually trapped here. Again, great for like an episode of like this, where it's just setting up the eerie tension. It's definitely just worth watching, even just for an animation perspective. Like, again, even if it's not exactly like, you know, movie level animation, just all that tension, all that style to it makes it interesting to look at. It definitely shows how this show can shine when it's not just doing random humor. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, a lot of people really do need to ease up and just give the show a fair shot every now and then, because you get episodes like this. One of the other ones, you know, I won't really get into it, but one of the other ones that I saw recently was also a parody of The Terminator. It was just a regular 20-minute episode, but That was one note I'm like, yeah, this show really can be creative and fun when it wants to be. So I do feel like it definitely should be checked out for, I mean, generally speaking, everyone. And for the most part, this show is well beloved, even though the online culture around it is to hate on it. I mean, the fact that it's got into 21 seasons should tell you that at least most general audiences, most people who aren't just online all the time, do like it, and for a good reason. It is inventive, it is filled with, funny characters, even if not all the jokes land, even if not all the stories, work well. It's stuff like this that showcase, like, okay, yeah, this show has a lot of potential, and when it takes advantage of that potential, it makes for great stories. And yeah, this is definitely one of them. I totally get why this is considered to be one of the best episodes, if not the best episode, by a lot of fans. Even if you're not a big fan of the show, if you're willing to at least try to tolerate it, I do highly recommend watching And Then the Reviewer. Again, some of it might be a little less friendly to people who aren't too into the show, but if you're aware of, the show quite a bit, you should be able to get along just fine. And even if you aren't, just take it from the murder mystery aspect. Like I said, a lot of these characters are just pretty much broad caricatures, so it works dumping them into this scenario. Even if you're not too familiar with it, you might miss out on some of the gags, and you might be a little confused at, like, okay, how do these characters, relate to it? Just because it's like, okay, you won't know the full grasp of, like, okay, James Woods, like, his effect on characters on the show. And to be fair, some of the stuff is stuff that's only brought up in this episode, but knowing the stuff that he's done in previous episodes does make it more fun to watch. But again, I don't think you lose out on too much if you haven't. I just think that if anything, that was one thing that this episode could have done more of, just reintroduce this kind of stuff. But then again, I feel like that would have worked more if this was actually intended as a movie than as an episode. Maybe it wouldn't have worked, but I don't know. It's such a good episode that I don't mind exploring what could have been if they had actually decided to extend it, double it up to make it a feature-length movie, because it would really be a good one. And with that, I just want to say thank you for listening, and I hope to see you again next time.
Thank you for coming on today. If you enjoyed this, please consider subscribing to my YouTube channel, where you'll see video versions of these podcasts. And if you just want to listen to them, there's always the option of just following the podcasts on their various sites, whether it's Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. Whatever you choose, I hope you continue enjoying these. And if you want to support me even further than that, there's always the option of Patreon. With Patreon, even just a dollar will get your name on the video versions of this and on other videos that I may do outside of these podcasts. A few dollars more gets you some behind the scenes info, and as this continues to grow, you'll find that there's more perks to it. So I hope you consider supporting me through Patreon as well. And in any case, again, thank you for listening, and I hope you have a wonderful day.